Ephesians chapter 1, let's stand and read together verse 15 to 23. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse number 18 is our text this morning. Verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I want to preach this morning my New Year prayer for you. This was a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Ephesian church, a great church, one of the best in the catalog of churches in the book of Revelation. And it's got riches in this book. This book is full of the riches of Christ. It's entitled, it's the Riches Epistle. Some people have referred to it because of how many times the word riches come up. But I really feel the key to everything we want to achieve as Christians is rooted in the truths that are here. That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Let's pray. Father, I pray you will help us this morning see things. Just like the prayer says, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we would see spiritual truth that will help us to change where we need to change and live in the hope that you want us to live for your glory. Lord, there's so much here. I just pray that you will help me communicate the truths that our group, our church needs here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to say that that's the way it is with many Christians tonight, today, is that we have the riches of Christ and we don't really know it. We're seeking for riches, but we don't realize we already have them in Jesus Christ. I want to, and I've referred to this verse before, but I want you to see here in Ephesians chapter 1. Now he's praying, Paul is praying, the eyes of your verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He wants these Christians to know a few things. Now they're saved, these Ephesian believers. He's writing to people who are already saved. They know the Lord, but he's saying, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would, he's saying, I'm praying you would start to grasp some of these things about being in Christ. He prays in verse 19, what he wants their eyes to be be enlightened, to understand the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. He wants them to know that. He wants them to realize the greatness of this power. And he says in verse 20, verse 21, and verse 20, 21, the greatness of this power that we have in Christ. He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. I shared this verse with the newspaper reporter the other day. When we were sitting in the office and he was asking, Brother Crossman and I, and he said, what is this different about your program than all of the other addiction ministry programs that are out there already? And I said, do you mind if I take the Bible and show you? And He says, no, I don't mind. So I opened the Bible to this very verse. I said, most other programs say this, that they must believe in a higher power. And I have used this verse with a lot of people who are involved in Alcoholics Anonymous and different addiction ministries. They all know that part of recovery, they've recognized through psychology that part of recovery is recognizing a higher power than yourself. But the problem is they don't go to the highest power. This power is above every power. The power that is in Christ is above every power. You see what he says, verse 19? He says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? You know how we access this power? Believing. You know how we connect with this power? It's through believing. Believing in a person, Jesus Christ. I said to him, sir, our whole ministry of the addiction ministry is based on two things. It's based on faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the basis of our ministry and of our program. But he's talking about the power, this great power. He says, this power to us who believe, which he wrought in Christ. He's talking about resurrection power. He's talking about the power that God performed in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. That demonstrated his power. It gave testimony of his power. It gave a vindication that the power of God, the prophecies, the future was going to be fulfilled. That he was who he said he was. That he was the resurrected, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Resurrected from the dead, he says, he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now this is where this program is different than all the rest in the world. Look at verse 21. Far above Jesus Christ and the power of God, far above all principality and power. All power. Far above all principality, far above all power and might. If in case you're not sure about the first word, power, he gives another word, power, might. He says the power in Jesus Christ is above all power and above all might and above all principalities. It's above every power that could be named, is named, whatever you can come up, any kind of higher power, he's above them all. That is the power in the Christian life that is available to usward who believe. That's the connection, usward who believe. I want to, first of all, I want us to see these great, the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, to see the source of this power, of these blessings. In chapter 1 and verse 3. And this is such a personal book. It's a book to Christians to personally communicate the blessings in Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want to tell you this morning that our blessings are in one thing and one thing only. Jesus Christ. Nothing else. I like how they have it in RU. They say there is one. They say, how many steps do you have in the program? How many steps to victory? And Brother Currington says there's one step. To get thoroughly right with God, one step, and that's all. It's repent and believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. How do you, mean that's how an addict, a person who is a heroin addict, and he is trapped in the bondages of heroin addiction or cocaine addiction or the alcohol addiction? There's only one step, and there is only one step. And you know what it is? Believe in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a few steps after you believe to learn how to walk. Because when you believe, you're a baby. You're a beginner. And you've got to be nurtured along and taught to walk the Christian walk. But I tell you today, you will never walk right as a Christian if you don't get a hold of these truths right here. And you know what my desire, my prayer for you in the new year? Is that we have a group of Christians that walk the worthy walk of Christ. We have a church that learn, that knows how to walk. You'll never walk right if you don't get the power right. If you don't recognize the power and the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, you will never, never be a victorious Christian. let alone get victory over addictions, let alone get victory over heroin, let alone get victory over alcohol. But we'll never communicate a message to a community that's trapped in these things until we ourselves get the principles and get the faith life. That they're just doing a survey in the prison systems in Canada, and they're saying in this survey that over 80% of people in the prison systems in Canada are in the bondage of addiction. Addictions in the prison. They're trying to do things right now to keep drugs and keeping things out of the prison because it's such a problem. And the only way we're going to see changes there and intervene in their lives is they've got to see this reality of this power and this life in our church, in our lives, so that we then can communicate it to others. The greatness, that the eyes of our understanding, so our prayer. Now, the first thing I want you to see is this verse 3, is it's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to turn to verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. He's talking about this power in Christ. Now go to chapter 2 and verse 6. In chapter 1, he's talking about Christ. In chapter 2, he's talking about us. Chapter 1, he's talking about this power in Christ. In chapter 2, he's talking about the Christian. The very same truth. It's amazing. Look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know who the us is? The usward who have believed. That's who it is. You underline or take your little pen and circle the word us in verse 6, us in verse 7, and there's a whole bunch of times in that whole chapter it's about us and ye. It's a personal, Paul is trying to help them understand what they have in Christ. How do you have the eyes of your understanding enlightened? It's through teaching. It's through knowledge. And that's what Paul is doing. He's saying it's all in Christ. And of course, in those days, there were a lot of other religions. There was the Jewish religion influencing the Judaizers. There was Roman religion that was affecting their thinking. And they were coming out of something and were trying to grasp these truths. And of course, they didn't have what we have. Not everybody could go home and read their Bible. It wasn't like that in those days. They had a letter from Paul and another letter from Barnabas and another letter from somebody else. And those letters would have to be copied by hand. And they would have those, and I'm not sure how the distribution went of those letters, but most of what they got was when they met together for in the Lord's Day and any other day during the week in teaching. And of course at Ephesus, they had a school there. Paul had a school for a couple of years that he was teaching these truths to Christians in Ephesus. Now, and what he wanted them to get and understand, the exceeding greatness of our riches, the exceeding greatness of our inheritance, the exceeding greatness of his power through Christ in us. That's where it is. It's in Jesus Christ. In Christ, they're to the Christian in verse 6 and 7. Now, go to chapter 2 and verse 10. I want you to see something here. Chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's saying we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that you're God's workmanship? You're God's project. Now for some of you, you're a bigger project than others. Some of you, it's a big project. He's got a couple of angels assigned just to watch you. But you are his workmanship. A lot of times we think it's up to us. It's up to us. It's all up to us. Well, there's some things that are up to us. But the thing that will help you more than anything is if you realize that you are his workmanship. You are his project. Now that is providing you have believed. You are a believer. If you're not a believer, you're not his project yet. But once you're saved, you become his workmanship, his project. And you see what it says here? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He is it. But he says in the last part of that verse that we should walk in them. And then he says in verse 13, he says, you were strangers in verse 12, and no, there were strangers of the covenant of promise, and having no hope, and without God in this world. But look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, do you see the theme here all the way through? In Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ. All our spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ. Now the difference is, on the first part of the book, he is showing how the position of Christ, all the things that are in Christ, but he swings it in the last half of the book to the walk. We are to live out our life in Christ. But the first half is to recognize what we have. We are like Samuel Hurst. How come I can't? How come it's not working for me? How come it doesn't? How come? How come? I'll tell you what part of it is until you get the understanding that there's nothing else that can be done. When you believed in Jesus Christ, it was finished, completed. And all of your blessings are in Christ. But now, in verse Christ Jesus, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's saying he's made us near. Chapter 3, go to chapter 3 and verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He is giving them doctrine, teachings of this mystery in Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse 11 of chapter 3. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Drop down to verse 17. Now he's in a different prayer. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You know what he's in here? He's talking about that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Paul has two prayers in this book that are recorded. First of all, let's go back to the first prayer. This is really a neat thing. Here's we got the great Apostle Paul. Probably nobody had a greater prayer life than the Apostle Paul. Look at how he puts it here in verse 16 of chapter 1. Ceasing not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul says, I make mention of you. You know what? When somebody needs prayer, we can depend on the Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance, to pray as he brings it to our remembrance. Paul says, I make mention of you in my prayers. He says, as you come to my mind, I pray for you. That's why it's so important to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, so that as God prompts our hearts, we will make mention of one another in prayer. And what the devil's trying to do all the time, and the world, and the flesh, and the self, and all of those things, he's trying to squelch and to hinder us from being led of the Spirit. And if we're not led of the Spirit, we don't pray properly. The key to effective praying is being led of the Spirit. And Paul says, I make mention of you in my prayers. This was the first prayer. And he says, your eyes would be enlightened to understand some things. I want you to notice here in verse 17, he says that God may give you spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. He wants us to understand our inheritance, his power, who he is, our position in Christ, and all of these things. And he says, the riches of the glory of this inheritance. Now, I want you to go to the second prayer. In the second prayer of the Apostle Paul for these Ephesian Christians, he's coming to the end of these great truths. We see a different emphasis in the second prayer. The first prayer of Ephesians is to understand our position in Christ. Now, he says in the second prayer, his emphasis is in the power of Christ in our daily life. It's the power of living our Christian life. Look at verse number 14 of chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see in verse 16, he uses that riches of his glory again. It's underlined, the same thing as in chapter 1. The riches of his glory. Now he's not saying that you would have the understanding. He's not saying, because he's already given them everything to have the understanding between chapter 1 and chapter 3. He's given these Christians all of the knowledge of our power, our blessings in Christ. Now he's saying, Christian, I'm going to pray for you again. This is so you can walk. This is a walk prayer. In chapter 4, verse 1, he comes to the end of the prayer and he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And he's talking about the walk, but they need to pray to walk right. You know the best thing, helping people, is our prayer for them. I'm serious. There's nothing going to do more for the people we're working with than our prayer for them. Our prayers that God will help them walk. I used to, you know, it's some preaching. Preaching helps, teaching helps, but I really believe it's prayer. What we do here on Saturday nights, what we do here on Wednesday night, what you do at home, and when you do, as you make mention of one another in prayer, it's for them to walk worthy. And if we keep praying, we'll see those walking worthy. But it's got to start with us. But he says here that he grant you to be strengthened. Now he's talking about, look at verse 16, be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We've got to be strengthened by the power of the Spirit that dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us gives us the ability to walk. But he tells about this power that God has put in us. But first of all, the prerequisite for this power working in us in verse 17. Very important verse. Verse 17. Listen carefully. Please wake up. If you're falling asleep, listen to this one. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, and he goes in, what this power is rooted in. This inner power. Verse 17, do you see that little word, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith? There's an interesting word. If you look this word up, and you study this particular word, dwell, here, it's unique in that it is not used, I don't believe it's used any other place in the New Testament. And this is what it means. If we invite you to our house, you come in to our home, and there is absolutely, it's something that you really enjoy. And you come to our house, and you stay there with no inhibitions, no fears, no thinking, I've got to get out of here. I can't wait till this visit is over. That's what this word dwell means. Have you ever been to a house like that? You've gone visiting? Paul is saying here that Christ may come and feel completely at home in your heart. That is the prerequisite for knowing the power of God. Does he feel at home in your heart? Do you make him feel at home? Now, the only way he can feel at home in your heart is, number one, you've got to remember he's a holy God. You can't have it. He won't feel at home in your heart if there's dirt in your life. He can't feel at home if there's dirt in your thinking. He can't feel at home if there's dirt and uncleanness in your home. He won't feel at home if your attitude is wrong. He's got to be able to come and feel at home. That's what this verse means. That Jesus Christ may come and dwell in your hearts by faith. That he will feel at home there. He says that is a curse. Then once you get that settled, he says you be rooted and grounded in love. And by the way, Christ will never feel at home in your heart if you're not rooted and grounded in love toward him. You gotta love him. You gotta love his word and love him. And if your love relationship isn't right, then you're not gonna have ever. The Lord will never feel at home in your heart. Now look at, he goes on in verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints. So this is something that is internalized and then it's verbalized and it's expressed to others. But may, with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? And it's not done yet. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. God's fullness in you. by Christ being at home, feeling at home, in your heart, dwelling by faith, rooted and grounded. Now love pops up here twice, three times. Paul says, the secret to the power of God in your life is understanding the love of God. The love, the great love of God. That what He's done for you and what He is doing for you, what He is presently doing. And you only get that when the eyes of your understanding are enlightened and you grow in His Word and the knowledge of Him. This love of God grows. And He says, you may be able to comprehend this with the saints. All of these, the breadth, the length, and so forth, it passes knowledge. There is no breadth to the love of God. There is no length to the love of God. You can study it and study it. You can measure it and measure it. You can never measure. There's no measuring stick long enough to go wide enough. There's no measuring stick to go long enough to be long enough. There's no measuring stick deep enough to go deep enough. And there's no measuring stick to go high enough to go high enough to measure the love of Christ and what He's done for you. But you will never know God's love until you're in love with Him. That's really what it's saying. You're not going to know God's great power in your life until you really grasp the love relationship with Him and you develop that love relationship. Look at verse number 20. This is the blessing for those whose eyes have been enlightened, who've grasped these things. This is the blessing. Verse number 20. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And you know how He ends the previous prayer? Look at verse 23 of the chapter 1, verse 23. This is how He ends the prayer in verse 23, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You know what He's talking about there? The church, verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to the head over all things to the church. The church is exalted over all things. There's nothing higher in God's economy, of God's institution, than the church. He's put the church over everything. But look at how He ends the prayer in verse 21 of chapter 3. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He's saying this power has got to be working in a church, in the body of Christ. This love that you can't measure with length, depth, height. This Christ must feel at home in your hearts. He must be able to settle down and really feel at home in your heart. And He says, when you get a Christian like that, you're going to have a Christian who's going to know the power that's exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You say, how come the power of God just doesn't seem to work for me? It just doesn't seem to work for me. You read about the men, and it just seems like of the past, and even other Christians, it just seems to work for them, but it doesn't work for me. I heard a person say one time, we knocked on the door, and this person had come from a church somewhere, and they said, I gave up on it. It just didn't work for me. I'll tell you why it doesn't work, because it works for everybody, is that person has never cultivated a heart for God to feel at home. That's where it is. That Christ may feel at home in your heart. That person is, and the only way He's going to ever be at home in your heart is if you have a dynamic love relationship with Him. You cultivate a love relationship, faith and love, faith and love. You know what Paul said in the first prayer? He says, I heard of your faith and love to all the saints. He says, I heard of it. Wow, he said, that's great evidence. You love the saints. You love Christians. You love being with Christians. You love the Christian cause. And you love the Christian church. And you love one another. And I've heard about that. He says, I've got a message for you. You need to have get a bigger grasp of what God is doing. And then he says in that second prayer, oh, that God would feel at home in your hearts. Feel at home in your home. Settle down and really be at home. I've been to other homes. I remember this place we used to go to every once in a while in Harvey, North Dakota, Pastor Peter Dick. I used to go down there on occasion, and we'd go to his house, and he'd always come over. If you're ever going through, make sure you stop in. And I didn't go there many, many times, but I was there enough times, and it was always the same. We got to the house, the door is open, you come on in. And they had a godly home. And you get in there, and we wouldn't be long, and you know what we'd be talking about? God, His Word, God and His work, God and the things of the Lord. And boy, you know, we'd be up at sometimes 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and we'd be still fellowshipping about the things of the Lord. The next day would come, and, you know, we're supposed to be leaving at 10 o'clock in the morning, but all of a sudden it's 11, and then it's 12, and it's 1. I think, brother, we've got to get going here. But you know what? We're still fellowshipping. You know what that home was? It was a place where you really felt at home, and you didn't want to leave. You didn't want to leave. That's the kind of home that Christ is looking for. That's the kind of heart He wants to come and dwell so that He can reveal the greatness of His power. That is the key that will make your 2012 better than any year you've ever had in your life. Will you purpose to make your heart a place where the Lord Jesus Christ can settle down and really father? Please, Lord, if there's one New Year's resolution that we need to make, and Father, I pray You would help our hearts be godly, a place where You can truly feel at home, not a place where You will feel unwelcome, where we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, Lord, in our church. And Father, I pray that You will have Your way as we look inward and then upward. And Lord, ask You, please, help us to change whatever needs to be changed this morning. Help us to purge out. Help us to examine ourselves. And Lord, do the changes to make it a place where You feel at home. I pray in Jesus' name.